If you listen closely, you may notice that Mishki takes great license with some of the details surrounding the news of the day. Listen at your own amusement. Thank you.
Gentlemen, KSTP now presents the Mishki Broadcast, featuring the broadcast outcast, transmitting live from his renegade radio outpost here in the final 90 feet in the city of St. Paul. Please stand by. Please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Kitchen and fix me something good to eat and make my head a little high, make the whole day complete, cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Well, pass it to me, baby, well, pass it to me slow, we'll take time out to smile a little before I let it go, cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on.
Shanty mama, and
put a good buzz on.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday night on AM radio and flyover land. Open lines tonight. Whatever the hell you want to talk about is fine by me. All the lines are open. Look. Have at 'em, kids. Let's make some magic. 646-TALK, the number in St. Paul, 646-8255, or long distance 877-615-1500. Howdy doody.
Well, you told me to call, so I thought I'd call you.
That's great. Take a hike. Next. Hello?
Yeah, hello. This is James in South Minneapolis.
Top of the evening to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just curious. I have a weather question for you.
Sure. Fire when ready, Jimmy.
Okay. I was just wondering if it has ever rained fish or frogs or anything like
that. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hey, who am I talking to?
Mishk.
Hey, the Mishki.
Yeah.
What's going on, man? My name's Wayne.
What's on your mind, Wayne?
Not much, man. First time caller. I listen to you a little bit. I work nights, so a lot of times I'm working while you're on, but Friday nights I don't work, so I got you tuned in.
Great. Want to talk about anything?
Just got done dropping off a date. I'm on my way home now.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can I help you?
Oh, yeah, I was wanting to talk to Mishki about this problem we're having.
What problem's that?
People. Too many damn people. Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yeah, Boomer's got a sexy voice. Is
he? Hello, Jeff?
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks.
What's on your mind this evening?
About 3 weeks ago, a guy called in and asked you what your favorite book was.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the St. Paul Central Library, checked it out, and I've read it. Thought I'd give you a call.
Uh-huh. Anything you'd like to say?
Anything that
you'd like to say?
I didn't agree with everything, but...
What didn't you agree with?
Well, I wasn't going to try and focus on that, but...
Well, let's start with that.
Well, he presents his arguments as reasoned arguments, and they aren't. I mean...
Well, you'll have to name something specifically. What don't you agree with?
Let's see. Unfortunately, I returned the book. I don't have it sitting in front of me.
Surely you have one or two items you can recall.
He argues that in Christianity, the yearning for heaven is based on a disdain for life on earth.
I don't recall seeing that.
Well,
that's a direct quote?
No, he lays it out in a little parable of some of God leading this person on and showing them...
There is an argument to be made that many Christians believe that that nature, the natural world, is a fallen world. It's
sure.
It's a world that is no longer sacred, that it has fallen from a state of grace and is not sacred anymore, and thus that's often used to justify not always treating the earth well, because the argument is it's not our home anyway.
It's not a requirement to be a Christian, though, to think that way.
No, it's not a requirement, but it was a very common view among Christians when that book was written, which was in the 1930s.
Sure.
There's been a shift in that in a great deal of Christianity, where the earth is no longer seen by many as fallen at all, or not in a state of grace. But when Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, the notion was that they went off into the world we have now, into a world that didn't represent God's home, the place where God was.
Yeah.
And that they were banished to some almost a dirtier place, and that's what we have here. And I think that was probably a more common view in Christianity in the 30s when that book was written, his argument being that probably that everything on this earth is as sacred as anything ever was in the Garden of Eden.
Can I make one other little comment?
You can make as many as you'd like.
Regarding the time it was written, you know, he extols leisure. And I actually like that idea a lot, you know, that an afternoon spent doing nothing is just as valuable as an afternoon at work or laboring at, you know, some...
Well, at least you're not a Puritan.
Yeah, but I think you would have written that chapter a bit differently in the 90s or this decade, out of consideration for cable TV and the internet. There would have been a little bit more nuance to that.
Well, he wouldn't have considered that proper use of leisure time. He was a big believer in more of a European style of leisure, which was, you know, the siesta, the long dinners,
yeah.
the wine drinking. He was a fan of tobacco. You read the section on tobacco?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You read all the sections on flower arrangement?
Yes. Fascinating.
Really?
Fascinating to me, sure.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. I agree with damn near every word in that book.
Wow.
That is my Bible.
Wow.
That is my Bible.
You go back to it and look at it from time to time? And
I have read it many, many times, and I just think if you want to get my take on life, there it is in that book, cover to cover. When I read that book, I met my my kindred spirit.
And he talks about that, too.
Yeah. For those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, we're not going to tell you. Lin Yu Tang, The Importance of Living, is the name of the book. You want to know how much I know that this guy is my spiritual father? I got a birthday card last month from my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a quote on the front of it. And I said, do you know who wrote this quote? She says, no, I have no idea. I said, take a look at the name, way at the bottom. And she looked, she said, who's that? I said, who's that? That's my guy. You bought a birthday card that just happens to have a quote on it from my guy, Lin Yu Tang.
Mm.
And she didn't even know that. That's how he just enters my life in all sorts of mysterious ways. Just, I don't know, strange energies are directing people to keep throwing him my way. I gave that book to a 16-year-old kid one time, and he did a book report on it. He was so moved, he asked his teacher if he could make that his end-of-the-year project. Wrote this 25-page paper, beautiful paper on it, got an A, and his teacher contacted me, wanted to know who had given him the book, and the teacher just wanted to tell me what an effect this book had had on the student, what a positive effect, and wanted to say, you know, encourage me to continue to pass that book along to folks.
Wow.
Yeah. But I certainly don't expect people, you know, to agree with everything in it. It's my book. You know, if someone else came along and said, here's my favorite book, I'm sure I wouldn't agree with everything in it unless the two of us thought exactly alike. But it at least gives you insights into how I see the world. That if nothing else, that's hopefully what the book did. I didn't expect everyone else to fall in love with it or the book would be a bestseller right now.
Can I ask you one more question? Language is your deal. You come on here, you know, every night for 2 hours and talk. You ever, and obviously you read a lot, you ever put anything down on paper?
I'm not 100% sure what you mean. I mean, before I got into radio, I was a freelance writer. I mean, I have written, but
okay.
Are you talking about something more like short stories or poetry?
No.
Or you just mean anything?
More of the latter. I mean, I'd be interested to know, you know, maybe what you have written, but I guess I was leaning more towards, you know, fiction or...
Yeah, I've never written fiction. Never.
No.
Never have. And to be perfectly honest, I don't read much of it.
No.
I tend to be interested more in nonfiction. Until the classics are finished, I guess I won't probably read much contemporary fiction. I mean, if I've made it through all the great works that are out there still waiting to be read, But I plow through nonfiction, and I don't know why that is. Someone once told me I ought to read more fiction because if you're going to do radio, that's really where you learn to do radio well, because of the way pictures are painted, the descriptive language in fiction, and because in radio all you have to paint those pictures are words. And that actually, that the person who passed along that advice was a guy who used to have a radio show here, Bob Yates, who read a tremendous amount of fiction, very well-read man. Never took him up on that advice. I don't know. I should. But this book is another case in point. It's another nonfiction work, The Importance of Living. And if you look on my shelves at home, I'm afraid it's, you know, you look at all the authors I've had on the air over the last 10 years, not one fiction writer, not a single one.
Well, I mean, there's a source of something. Well, you know, the persona of Blue Zephyr and all his knowledge came out of something.
<laughs> <laughs> Yeah, but Blue Zephyr, the credit for Blue Zephyr goes to the guy, goes to Al, not to me.
Well,
you take it, it goes to that. It's Al that makes that piece. That is, and you can't make that guy up. I mean,
yeah.
That's the gift, is that Al comes into my life and allows Blow Zephyr to do what he does. Similarly, I don't know if you've ever heard the Mishki CD or the interview with the Edmund Fitzgerald guy. But it's the guy who makes it. If that guy hangs up on me after the first question sung to him, the bit's over and it's not memorable at all. The guy hangs in there and plays straight man for no reason at all, gains nothing from it, and creates this beautiful radio moment that I, again, couldn't create in any fictional world. No one would believe it.
Sure.
Maybe that's why I like nonfiction so much, because the people who are actually out there, the people who are actually out there listening and calling in from time to time, fascinate me far more than any fictional character ever could. What really is out there is endlessly entertaining to me.
Cool.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. We go to... Ooh, it's fun to have a choice. Elliot.
You picked me.
I picked you, and you win something.
Do I?
Yes.
What?
A CD.
Really?
Yeah, do you have one?
I have lots of CDs.
Oh.
Probably none by you, though. I'd like that.
Yeah, coming your way. What's on your mind?
I thought the debates were kind of funny. Because he actually talked this time, but Kerry still stuttered. It was funny.
Who actually talked?
Bush.
Talked?
Yeah, no, he actually said something instead of just sat there like Kerry, or like Kroc was saying earlier.
I didn't hear what Kroc said.
Oh, he was saying that the last debate Bush just stuttered, didn't really say nothing. I didn't get to see that one, but this one, from what I've been hearing, you know, I haven't really listened to it until the second one, and then when I heard it, I was like, I actually figured, like, you know, what he was doing, what he did last time.
Uh-huh.
So I actually thought he did good, but I don't know.
Yeah. I would argue that this is as good as George Bush gets. He could debate for the next 10 years, and he would match this performance, but he'd never top it.
Yeah.
This is as good as he will ever be between now and his death.
How old is he?
In his 50s.
Yeah. Wasn't there another Bush president, or was that his dad?
No, there wasn't. Nope.
A long time ago, because I remember...
No, this was the only Bush. How old are you?
I'm 21.
No, this was the only one.
When I was, like, I think 10... I was like, I thought there was a Bush president in the office a long time ago.
No, this is the first and only.
Okay.
You must be thinking of Nixon.
No, I wasn't alive for Nixon, was I?
Yeah, you were alive. You 98? Were young. You were probably... Yeah, he was in 98.
I don't remember him, though.
Yeah.
It's too little.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks,
Chris. All right, you bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Who do we have here? Hello, Dan.
Hey, Mishki.
What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just thinking about things that make me happy. You know what makes me happy, Mishki?
What's that, Dan?
Oh, when you mentioned Al. Al makes me smile, Mishki.
Al makes me smile, Dan.
Because the reason for that, Mishki, is that if anyone in the world has a reason to be upset about something, it's Al.
It's Al. You're damn right, and he's happy.
But he's happy all the time.
He's happy. And you know what his... His great motto is, you gotta laugh.
You gotta laugh, Mishki, and that's great.
That's the key.
You know what makes me sad, Mishki?
Let me guess. Genocide?
Sort of, I guess.
Uh-huh.
That's never a good thing, but really, let me just... I don't want to be rude to anybody, but it's just... That last guy is why I'm a strong supporter of the Electoral College.